And once you get your hands where you're free, this will check us all this morning on our confession. And if you know it, please confess it, say it with me. And maybe as we do it, some of you, it'll become familiar and you'll remember it as we go along. All right. So if you're ready, would you join me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you. Sound great. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Whatever city they were in isn't the issue. It's the fact they were in Christ Jesus. That was the main point. But he's writing to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. And he says, verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Would you say has blessed us? With every spiritual blessing, notice where they are, in the heavenlies, in Christ. So the blessings are in Christ. So if we're in Christ, we get to partake of the blessings. So he says to the saints, I heard years ago, we're either a saint or an ain't. Now, the saints just means God's holy people. And when God's Spirit convicts us of our sin, and we realize, doesn't matter if we're a little child and we have that conscience and the Holy Spirit to tell us, I did something wrong. And the Holy Spirit in his love convicts us of our sin and of unbelief and draws us to the truth that even though my sin separates me from a holy God, he loved me, he loved us so much that he didn't want us to be separated. And he sent his own son, the eternal Son of God, and clothed him in a human body to live a sinless life and show us what God is like. And he willingly laid his life down. No one took his life. He willingly laid his life down and allowed people to crucify him. He suffered and died on a cross to pay the judgment for all of our sins. 3 days later, he rose in victory and he's alive and seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And when we come to that place by God's Spirit where we at least acknowledge that I've sinned, but God loves me and Jesus paid for my sin and I believe in him, he is now my Lord. It's not just in my head. I believe in my heart because it's with the heart that we believe and are made right with God. So when God does that, we are born again. He makes us holy and he makes us saints. He places us in Christ. And so every blessing, if you just got saved this morning, every blessing that's in Christ that is written in this scripture is yours. And it's ours and it's available for us. Now, in chapters 1 through 3, the Lord reveals several of these spiritual blessings to us. And then in chapter 4, if you would turn there, Ephesians chapter 4, he begins that chapter 4, verse 1, and on through the rest of this book, in how to take those spiritual blessings and live them out in the real world of our daily lives. Because God's word is practical. It's not just something to learn, it's something to live. It's truth for us. So let me give you, I just want to give you 3, I guess if you want to call them points, this morning, and I put them in the title of the message. So here is the message right here. It's just simply this, called and equipped to build. Called and equipped to build. And I'll give you the scriptural reference for each of those, called and equipped to build. So if you're there in Ephesians chapter 4, would you look at verse 1? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, I therefore, because of all that I've just shared with you by the Holy Spirit, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I'm pleading with you to walk worthy. Would you say walk worthy? Of the calling with which you are called. So let me give you this first one. We are, first of all, called. And that's Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. We are called. Ephesians 1 through 4. So I'll read those other verses here in just a moment. But I need some of you writing it down. So let me just give you this. Last week, I shared a message called Follow Me as I Follow Christ. And about how Jesus calls us to be his disciples. And then he calls us to make disciples. So the first calling is we're called to Jesus to be his disciple. I don't know if you remember this or not, but a real simple definition, the word disciple just literally means, at least a disciple of Jesus, means a learner and follower of Jesus. So if you think of disciples as those who are committed followers of Jesus, that's the key, a committed follower of Jesus, all right? That's what it means to be a disciple. So it's not just someone who goes to church, although that's good to do. It's not someone who may give an offering. That's good. It has its place. But the first calling is that I'm called to be a committed follower of Jesus, to be his faithful follower. Then we are called. Let me go on and keep reading here. Again, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Notice calling and called. How do we do that? Verse 2. With all lowliness or humility and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another. Would you just turn to somebody next to you and just tell them, you just got to put up with me a little bit. Bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring, would you say endeavoring? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then verse 4, there is one body, and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Again, those first, that first verse and the fourth verse, there is calling and called, called and calling. All right? So he's emphasizing the point there that we are called, first of all, to be disciples of Jesus, and then he calls us to worship and serve in his body, which is the church. So we're called to follow Jesus, and we're called to worship and serve him in his church and to make disciples. And we talked about that a little bit last week because Jesus said, make disciples of all nations or all people groups. Now, whatever our earthly occupation may be, we have a heavenly vocation, a calling from the Lord to be his ambassadors, his light, and his representatives in the world today. So we are called. Would you say we are called? And then number 2, we are equipped. So we are called and equipped. And if you turn to chapter 4, verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, called and equipped. So he says this, Ephesians 4, 11, and he himself, speaking of Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping. Would you say equipping? Equipping? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. So Jesus calls some of his followers to equip the rest of his followers to do the work of ministry, or the work of ministry just means service. So apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles are, you know, the original 12, but really just means those who are sent. Apostles touch the other ministries, and then the prophet is the one who can kind of appoint, and the evangelist is inviting people to come, and the pastor with the ring finger, the fellowship and the love, and the teacher is the one who can dig in and get all the little good stuff out for this. Actually, the pastor and teacher may go together here. But however you want to read it, there is a purpose for equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. And this is so important. We must be properly equipped to fulfill the Lord's call effectively, most effectively. I'll say it that way. We must be properly equipped to fulfill the Lord's call most effectively. It's part of our God-ordained purpose. We're not here just to live and die. We're here with a divine calling for the Lord. And whatever we do, we're to do to the glory of God. And part of our interaction with one another is at least part of our God-ordained call. Let me give you just a little simple definition of that word, equip. It comes from a verb that means to make complete, like you make whole, to prepare or train. So to make whole, W-H-O-L-E, prepare and train. And I know you don't have the words in front of you on the screen, but to make complete, prepare and train. You think you could say that with me? Yes. To make complete, prepare and train. Now, if you just want to write these verses down for sake of time, let me give you a few verses. I'll just call them off. In Mark chapter 1, verse 19, Mark chapter 1, verse 19, it says that Jesus was walking along the shore and he saw two brothers, James and John, and he says they were mending their nets. The word for equipping there, that we're called to be equipped, is same word, mending. So Jesus calls some to equip or to mend the saints. And I thought about mending their nets. And if you think about the church as being a net, have you ever felt like you've just been ripped apart or torn by someone or by life and circumstances? The devil just had rough, and you feel, you come into church, you feel like this, feel like you've been ripped apart. That's part of why we are to gather together, because the Lord uses this time of fellowship to mend us so that we're not like this, but we're more like this. And so as we come in and the Lord mends us, then what he does is he sends us back out to reach others for him. That's why, but see, if we're like this, it's not a put down of being torn or ripped apart. It's simply a saying, if we stay that way, we can't be as effective for the Lord. Does that make sense? So we're called and equipped to build. Let me give you another scripture there. This is my meditation verse last week. It was in Luke chapter 6, verse 40. In Luke 6, 40, Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. That's the goal, to be like Christ. That phrase, perfectly trained, same word, equipped. So he gave some for the equipping, for the mending, for the training of the saints to do the work of the ministry. And then one more in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Let me read that one to you. You can stay there in Ephesians. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore. Would you say restore? Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That word restore is equipped. Restore. So when we come together, it should have an effect of equipping us, mending us, preparing us, restore. See, if I'm not in, I say we, if anyone is not in close fellowship with our Father in heaven and his family on earth, we ought to be able to come together and be restored. Restored. That's a rich word. The equipping. So we come together so that we can be equipped and mended and trained and prepared and sent back out. Thank God for the fellowship. God designed it that way. Now, how are we mended? How are we equipped? How are we trained? How are we prepared? How are we restored? I believe the Lord gave us over 20 what are called one another commands in Scripture. And as we fulfill those commands, that's how the Lord uses us. They describe ways that we are to give and receive ministry from one another. So you help me. I didn't purposely not allow you to greet this morning. I just wanted to give you a chance to live it out. So I'll give you that one, all right? We'll do that in a little bit. to greet one another, all right? Can you think of any other one another commandments in the New Testament? Okay, we're to love one another, and what else? We're to pray for one another. As we do those activities, that's part of how God equips us. And he mends us. It's not, if I have the attitude, I'm going to get myself together first. And I'm going to be, yeah, good luck. And not realizing, no, God does that as we step out and as we're involved and we help sharpen one another. We equip one another. And it's not just for the church. As we are equipped and mended and prepared and trained, God prepares us for further ministry both in the church and out in the world. But if I have an opportunity for ministry out in the world and I'm too scared to because I've never had the practice, I've never prepared and trained here, you see how, again, it has to be with being effective? I can tell you, man, When I really got myself right with the Lord, I'd gotten away from the Lord for a period of years. My family got out of church or went back when I was a teenager. And after I graduated, I really committed myself. I was the prodigal returning home, so to speak. And I was looking for a pulpit. I just wanted to be a light at Randolph Market. That's where I worked. And I remember taking the back of a tray, like you put vegetables on, and writing verses on there. For the guys, I didn't put that out on the shelf, but like maybe set them up in the back room for some of the other guys to see. And you might take a little ribbon. I really didn't. I don't feel like it was, you know, get a little bit of flack or whatever. But overall, it wasn't. I don't consider myself to have suffered any persecution for sure. But God used that to prepare me for what I'm doing right now. I wasn't ready to do that when I was 18, to do this. But I could start where I was. And because I did start doing something and serving, the Lord prepared and used. Who knows how God may use you? He'll expand your ministry and who you might reach and outreach and all of those. He'll put them in your heart. But this is part of it's the equipping. Man, this isn't just wasted time. And I believe this, that you're not just here to spectate. You're not here to be spectators. You're here to be participators. And you do greet and you worship and you want to serve the Lord and you pray. And I just thank God for that. Because my responsibility for the Lord and our responsibility is to help you fulfill your call. It's not about me. It's really about him. And if I fail to do that, I failed you. But if I do my part, I can't make you do yours. All I can do is try to make it available and encourage you. How many of you are familiar with the scripture that says God has not given us a spirit of fear or fearfulness or timidity? You know what he says? Because he gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But what did he say right before that? He said, stir up the gift in you and don't be afraid. Sometimes we can just be scared and we just have to, like Joyce Meyer said, do it afraid. I know you're scared to talk to that person and offer to pray, but why don't you go ahead, just do it afraid. If you err on the side of, if nothing good comes out of this, I'm gonna at least be a testimony for the Lord and give him glory. I'm not gonna do something to dishonor him. And who knows? I've been out in places before and maybe if it was appropriate and maybe a person was working but no one was around and wasn't taking them from their job, offer to pray with someone. And God is, you know, that can be simple. I don't know what God will use for you. Again, he'll open the doors if we're prepared and willing to walk through them. So that's how we're equipped. And then we're called and equipped for a purpose, and that's to build. So called, Ephesians 4, 1 through 4, we are equipped, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, and then to build, that's Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. Ephesians 4, 12 through 16. I'll close with these last few verses here. Jesus said he will build his church. but he uses us as his instruments in the building process. Is that right? Again, we're his body. So we are called and equipped to build. And I'll just say this, if I can get online later, I'll put my notes from the message on the website so you can see those. CLM, it's just the initials of the church and the word family. CLMfamily.org. So I'll try to get those on for you today since we don't have them on the screen, okay? If you want to write these last couple verses down, I'll give them to you. Let me read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 again. The Bible says this, that he gave some for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying, which just means what? Building up of the body of Christ. So the saints to do the work of ministry. If we ran a business, let's say we ran a restaurant like yesterday, like the church can typically be conducted, here's what it would look like. Say the owner or the manager. The manager would have been running around trying to take orders from 18 people, and the other employees would have just been sitting watching him. Y'all get the idea? And then he's having to take the orders, and he's having to run back, get the water and the tea and the Sprite and root beer, and he's giving all that. He comes out, and he's got to go back, and he's got to cook the food, and this person needs to refill, and he would be. That's sometimes, I wonder if sometimes pastors get burned out because, and I know there is a place, we're sitting Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. But you just see how the ministry can be so much more effective if we all do our part. And it's God's call on your life. So we're called and equipped to build. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I'll just read it to you and then I'll close here in Ephesians. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, because we build the body of Christ, first of all, by leading people to Jesus. If someone doesn't know the Lord, that's the first step. We've got to point them to Jesus and lead them to make that confession of faith and believe in him as Lord. But then we also have to disciple them in God's word and God's ways, all right? God's word and God's ways. Would you say that with me? God's word and God's ways. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or for teaching is all that means, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God or the woman of God may be complete. Would you say complete? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. We've got to be discipled in God's word. There is no spiritual growth or even coming to salvation without knowing the truth that is in God's word. We don't have to know it all. We just have to at least know the basics. And then we start with those and build on them. So to follow the Lord, and Jesus prayed for his disciples. He said he wants us to be what? One, in one accord. This scripture says that as we do God's word, that's the key, we're equipped. Then he says this in verse 13, Ephesians 4:13, till we all, would you say all? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So doing God's word, let me give you these three real quick. Doing God's word will lead to, first of all, unity. When we really grow in Christ and more like Christ, it will produce a greater unity in the body of Christ. Not that we're going to agree on everything and not that we compromise truth. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, I am a companion of all those who fear you and keep your commandments. It's a reverent, worshipful fear of God and obedience to his word that truly unites us. But as we grow in Christ, doing God's word produces unity. Second, it produces maturity. So he says in that verse still, 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So doing God's word produces or will lead to unity, maturity, and then stability. The next two verses talk about as we grow in Christ, we won't be like children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and teaching that comes in along the body of Christ that makes sounds like it's true, but it's deceptive. So unity, maturity, and stability. Would you say that with me? Unity, maturity, and stability. And then would you look at verse 16, Ephesians 4, 16. I want to read this to you, I think, from the New Living Translation. So maybe you won't have that, but let me just tell you what it says. It says, Jesus makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. That's so important. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. As each part does its share, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Man, that's what the world needs to see. Not a disjointed, splintered church, but a church in which Christ is glorified among his people. Let me give you this last scripture. You might even want to turn. John chapter 20. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples after he came back to life from the dead. John chapter 20, verse 21. We are called and equipped to build. Would you say that with me? We are called and equipped to build. All right. And the Bible says this, John chapter 20 and verse 21. Jesus says, So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. You see that? You're apostles, you're sent ones to go out to your, whether it's family, neighborhood, job, school, wherever you are, that's your realm. So he says, as the Father sent me, that's how I'm sending you. And then he goes on in the next verse, 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Lord calls us and equips us to build his church with the power of his Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our own human strength. Called and equipped to build. So let me just close with this. Between you and the Lord, will you accept the call? Will you accept the call for the Lord to equip you and to use you to build his, reach people for the Lord, see them built up. And you know how the Lord works, right? What we do for others, he makes happen for us. And God gets all the glory. That's all I want, for him to get the glory. Can we stand together? Father, I just want to thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you for your love and mercy. And Lord, you called us. Help us to say, here am I, send me. Touch us and cleanse us. Heal us where we need to be mended. Restore us and strengthen us.